Activist Radio is on the air. You've tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal. Mark is training a new generation of leaders to take on the culture of death and win.
If you don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
Happy, happy New Year, Mark Harrington Show listeners. Happy New Year. Happy 2018. It's hard to imagine that we've got another year. Just seems like 2017 just breezed right by. But it was a big year. It was a big year, 2017, and we're on to 2018. I'm not going to sit here and recap 2017 for you. That could have been done, but we're going to look forward. We're going to look forward today for 2018, a big year for Created Equal and the pro-life movement, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to be talking about what's going to be happening in the next 20 days here in America, here in Washington, D.C. primarily, as Created Equal gears up to go to the March for Life, our annual pilgrimage to Washington, D.C. for the March for Life, and the Women's March. The so-called Women's March is happening again this year. If you recall, of course, after the inauguration of Donald Trump last year, thousands of women and men gathered on the Mall in Washington, D.C., for the so-called Women's March. Although it wasn't really a march for women, it was an abortion march mostly. It was a pro-abortion march in Washington, and our organization, Create Equal, is there in force, right in the midst of it. And they're doing it again this year. You know, they're emboldened, they're fighting back, they're on the move. So once again, this year on the 20th of January, which is one day after the March for Life, there will be a Women's March in Washington. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And my guest in studio today is Ian Spencer.
Thanks for having me on.
Ian is the Director of Outreach. And Ian, just for the sake of our viewers, our listeners, you've been with us how long now?
I've been full-time with Created Equal now for 2.5 years.
2.5 years. Now, just briefly, because we don't have a lot of time, but how did you get involved in the pro-life movement and then join Created Equal?
Yeah, my family had been very involved for as long as I can remember. I was out in front of abortion facilities praying and counseling with women who are going in to have abortions. And then when I was 14, I went to a training that Created Equal did. And
was that Seth Dreher?
Yes, it was. Seth. You and Seth did,
okay.
Actually.
Okay, all right, good.
And then I went on a campus with you guys for the first time and started having conversations at Bowling Green State University. When I was 14 with you.
14. Now, if you guys recognize maybe the last name, Spencer. Mike Spencer's his father. Mike is one of the trainers at Life Training Institute, Scott Klusendorf's organization. So Ian comes from very good stock, as they say. And so he's been with us for 2.5 years and has been to the March for Life and was there last year at the Women's March. So we're gonna ask him a little bit as the show goes on, his experiences with the March for Life, our outreaches there in Washington, which we've been doing now since 2011, using our Jumbotron. And then as we gear up to go back to Washington, what we expect to find there at the Women's March. But before we get into that, I wanted to first talk about this Planned Parenthood annual report that was released this weekend by the abortion Goliath. Now, it's interesting, a couple things. First of all, Planned Parenthood waited until the final day of the year to release this. That tells you something. They did it over the weekend. That tells you another thing. They don't want people to know what's in that report, bottom line. So it was released this weekend, and I want to share a couple things about it. If you would, Mr. Producer, pull up the report itself. Planned Parenthood is required by law, just as we are as an organization, to provide information regarding their work. So what they did is they came out with these numbers, and it's a good news, bad news kind of a scenario. Let's first of all look at the bad news. If you would, Mr. Producer, bring up that slide that shows the funding and some of the other things regarding Planned Parenthood. These are sobering numbers, folks. Here's why. Let me just deal with the bad news first. I think we need to go in with our eyes open. We're an organization that deals with it in reality. We don't, you know, we don't sugarcoat things. It is what it is. Planned Parenthood is still, it has a certain level of popularity with the American people, and is still increasing its budget, both donation-wise and government as well. Look at these numbers with me, if you would. Think about this. After the Center for Medical Progress released those videos in 2015, you would have thought that Planned Parenthood's funding would go down by the government. Well, that's not the case. In fact, it had a modest increase. Government funding for Planned Parenthood is still at $500 million, despite all that has happened regarding the videos, the body parts scandal, all the hearings on Capitol Hill and all of that, and the attempts to defund Planned Parenthood. They still are sitting at $1 billion in government funding. Their donations are almost the same as government funding, $532 million of donations come into Planned Parenthood. And in 2017, they increased their abortions. So we're not surprised at that at all, of course, because that's what Planned Parenthood does. No matter what people say about them providing all these other types of so-called services for women, they are about abortion, pure and simple. That's what they're about. They increased their donors by 720,000. I mean, think about that. I wish we had, maybe 100,000 donors. 720,000 donors, new donors in 2017. And of course, these are their numbers, so you got to take it with a grain of salt. But they also say they had 250,000 new volunteers. Now, I'm not saying this to get you guys depressed. I mean, that's not the point. Point of the matter is that Planned Parenthood, despite all that has happened in regards to exposing them for what they truly are, an abortion killer, and that they profit in baby parts, is still on the move. They're gaining in donors and volunteers and in funding, despite all that has happened. I guess the inauguration and election of Donald Trump was a boon for them, probably. But I'm also going to share the good news, and there is some here. But if you would, Mr. Producer, put up that graphic of McConnell and our good friend, what's his name? I can't remember his name. But yeah, Paul Ryan. Thank you. Gosh, I had a mind block there. This is a little graphic that my good friend Troy Newman put up on Facebook the other day. And I think this actually does speak to the issue here. And that is all the talk about defunding Planned Parenthood in the last 2 years since these videos came out, coming from our GOP leaders, our so-called pro-life leaders in Congress, led to what? $543 million in government funding. We are no better off than we were before these videos released and all of these investigations. These two men, among others, in the Congress, refused to do the right thing, refused to do what they were elected to do, and to go to Washington and defund Planned Parenthood. And so I think this graphic is correct. It says, hey, Cecile, Mitch and I have your money for 2018. I mean, a lot of folks within the pro-life movement thought this would happen right away. They thought that with Trump being elected, having both houses of the Congress, the Senate and the House of Representatives, that we would defund Planned Parenthood in the spring of 2017. Well, it didn't happen. And it didn't happen because two reasons. First of all, we got spineless politicians that are unwilling to do the right thing on abortion, who go to the voters every election cycle and ask for their vote. And then when they get their vote, they go to office and they don't do anything about it. That's number one. And number two, and I hate to say this, and I don't want to be bashing the movement, But we've just allowed it. We've sat back and allowed these folks to get away with it. We haven't held their feet to the fire and requiring them to do what they said they were going to do once they were in office. And so what happened is these budgets, these what they call these continuing resolutions, come before the government every so often just to keep paying the bills, and Planned Parenthood funding's in there. And these guys say they're against it, but then they'll vote for the budget every single time. And by the way, in 30 days or so or less, we're going to have another one of these continuing resolutions. And guess what? Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell will vote in favor and lead their caucus to vote in favor of funding the government, which includes Planned Parenthood. Folks, here's the bottom line. We got to hold our elected officials accountable. That means we got to go to them and say, listen, if you don't defund Planned Parenthood, you're out of here, and make it stick this time. And not sit back and just play along in hopes that this is going to change. Now, the good news is, in this report, that Planned Parenthood is closing abortion mills across the country. I think some 30 abortion clinics closed, the ones that do surgical abortions across the country. That's good news. That's the good news. So despite all the funding, despite all the new donations, despite all the volunteers, they still are closing clinics. So we're having an effect. Here's the big deal, though. Hopefully the Attorney General and the Department of Justice are going to find Planned Parenthood guilty of criminal actions regarding baby parts, and that'll be coming out in 2018. That will be a major blow to them. Will it affect all of this? I sure hope so. But it remains to be seen. We cannot just sit back and allow our politicians to say that they're pro-life, say that they want to defund Planned Parenthood, and when it comes down to it, just vote for the funding of it in the government and the continuing resolution. Now, Mr. Producer, if you would real quickly, and then we're gonna get to the March for Women, so-called March for Women. But if you would bring up the Barna survey, this is George Barna, folks, just released. I don't know if you know who George Barna is, but he's kind of this polling guru that's very respected among mostly evangelicals and Christians. And he comes out with these findings regarding the church all the time, and also the issue of abortion. And he recently wrote in this survey coming out on abortion regarding Planned Parenthood funding. Again, this is a reminder that we are far from bringing down this abortion Goliath. He said this, and I'll read from the report here. It says the survey revealed, this is the survey on abortion, that half of adults want Planned Parenthood to continue receiving either the same amount of funding it receives currently or increased funds. About 50% believe, 50% of Americans think Planned Parenthood should continue to receive funding. So, I mean, you got to understand that this is probably why it hasn't changed. But we have to be a vocal minority as pro-lifers to require that Planned Parenthood doesn't get its funding. So that's where we stand with Planned Parenthood. We got a lot of work to do. And so on January 20th, the Women's March is going to happen again. The Women's March redo, it was really a pro-abortion march, but last year at the march on January 20th, or I think it was the 21st, the day after the inauguration, there was this massive march on the mall. Hundreds of thousands, I would say. I was there. One of the biggest marches I've ever seen. I mean, we've been to the March for Life a dozen times in my lifetime, and I've never seen this many folks. But they came out, and they're going to do it again this year on January 20th. So, if you would, Mr. Producer, bring up that graphic, the website of the march. March on DC, they call it. March on the polls. Of course, they're playing on this whole off-year election that's going to happen in November of 2018, try to get people to the polls to take back the House and the Senate, try to neutralize President Trump. So that's their focus. And what they're going to be doing is gathering in front of the Lincoln Memorial at the Reflecting Pond this year, or pool. And instead of on the mall down by Congress, by Capitol Hill, they're going to be on the other end of the mall, and they're going to march to the White House. So, as usual, yours truly, along with our good friends, all of us at Created Equal and some other volunteers, will be at the so-called Women's March again this year, raising the standard that some women aren't represented here, especially the unborn women. They certainly aren't represented. And also the women that are pro-life that have been excluded from these marches historically. So, Ian, you were there last year. I mean, I was, I don't know. I'll share my point of view in a second. We went to the Women's March last year in 2017, right after the inauguration. Share it with the listeners what that was like for you and our team. How many people we have to begin with? Do you remember?
I think
maybe
we had
a dozen.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, we had a small group, but we were right there in the middle. Go ahead. Tell folks what happened last year.
Yeah, well, it was like you said, it's not just a women's march. It is a pro-abortion march. The women who are there, the people who are there marching, are pro-abortion. They are adamantly fighting for abortion, for the right to kill their children. And it's shocking and horrifying that when you show them the pictures of abortion victims, they continue to believe that it's a women's right, that they should have the right to do whatever they want with this child that's growing inside of them. It's the most hostile group of people I've ever encountered.
Yeah, let's camp on that for a second. Now think about a woman's right to choose. They don't let pro-life women come to this thing. I mean, they threw out some feminist, so-called feminist organizations that were pro-life. They wouldn't let them come. You know, what about them? I mean, there's a large contingent of the American people that are women who are pro-life, who are not part of this, who can't be. In other words, if you don't walk lock, stock, and barrel with the feminists, so-called feminists on the left, you're not invited to this. It's not about women, really. It's about abortion. How are we treated? You would think, oh, you know, the tolerant left, right, who believe in choice and a woman's right to choose, that they would treat us fairly and say, yeah, we have the right to be there. How were we treated that day?
Yeah, we were called vulgar names. There were expletives shouted at us constantly. People were spitting at us, knocking over our signs, trying to take signs away from us and break them. Not what you would expect from a grown adult. That's what you would expect from 5-year-olds.
So in order to demonstrate this even better, Mr. Producer, if you bring up, go ahead and cue up that video. This is just, we have several videos like this on our Facebook or our YouTube page. If you want to go to our YouTube page, Create It Equal, you can watch several from the march last year. We were right in the thick of it, folks. And be honest, if we would have tried to call for the police, there's no chance they would have made it to us because they were preoccupied. It was dicey, let's say. Look, go ahead and play that video, if you would. That one is the there he is. Oh, no. There's a victim of abortion. I wonder how they feel about her. I'm having a good time. It's a little bit long, but there's a guy that walks up here in a second and has a sign that says, "I actually hate you." So much for tolerance, I guess, right? Couple things real fast on this. You can go ahead and end it there. Yeah, it's interesting right there. Look at that. Transgender people. Let's think about that. See, it was the so-called women's march, which excluded pro-life women and, of course, men who were pro-life. But if you were pro-abortion and you're a man, you're okay to be there. They would often bring up to me, well, you're a man, you shouldn't have a voice on abortion. Well, first of all, my stock answer is, well, how do you know? You know, how do you know? In today's world, how do you know? I could be transitioning. You don't know that. And they talk about transgender folks at the march. Well, then it can't be a women's march then, right?
Right.
I mean, well, you can't have it both ways here. I mean, the whole thing collapses. This whole idea that it's a woman's right to choose kind of falls down when you embrace transgenderism. That's number one. The second thing is a lot of people would say, well, men shouldn't go there and protest and all that kind of thing. And the bottom line is a couple things. First of all, if men owned up to their responsibility when it came to pregnancy, getting women pregnant, we wouldn't have abortions. They would just do the right thing and parent the child and say, I'm going to man up. Then we wouldn't have this problem. They should embrace us and say, well, at least you're standing and defending children and women and children. We were there for both, not just the babies. We're there for the women. We're saying men ought to own up for what they're doing. So here's the question. People look at that and they'll say, well, why would you go back? I mean, what are we martyrs? I mean, are we looking for trouble here? Do we enjoy getting yelled at? I mean, what's the point? I'll ask you, Ian, why go back? I mean, we go back to this sometimes in our office as to whether we should do these kinds of events. What's the purpose in going back to, say, the Women's March? Which, again, I don't think it's going to be like it was last year as far as size, but you're going to have the same kind of folks there that were there last year. Why go back, in your opinion? Why would it be a good idea to go back?
Yeah, I think anytime a group of people are having rights taken away from them, they have to be stood up for. Mm-hmm. Preborn children do not have a voice of their own. And so we have an obligation to go out there and to expose what's happening and to show people that if they're going to support abortion, they have mm-hmm. to know and see what it is. And they have to be okay with looking it in the face and saying that they fully support a woman's right to rip her baby apart piece by piece. The victims deserve to be shown. If this is going to be a pro-abortion march, they need to see what's happening.
Exactly. I mean, they should be saying, thank you for coming. You're advertising what we believe in. I mean, that, of course they don't, because they realize that abortion argues against itself when it's shown. So, I mean, we have a prophetic, if you will, a duty, in my view, to stand up against people like this and say, no, we're not just going to lay down and play dead for you. Of course, we're wise in how we go about it. We try to do things that are going to keep us safe and so forth. But we're not going to sit back and cower when the other side are just flat out bullying people. We're just not going to do it. So we are going to this march on January 22nd at, or sorry, 20th in January, at the Lincoln Memorial with a contingent of pro-lifers. We're not certain what that's going to look like yet. We also would plan to go to the White House possibly and so forth, but that's what we're going to be doing this year. Now, let's shift gears. So we've talked about Planned Parenthood, funding and so forth. We talked about the Women's March, so-called, coming up, which is really just an abortion march. It's coming up, the annual now, second annual, if you will, Women's March on Washington, D.C., that we will be in opposition to. But let's move on to the March for Life itself, okay? Obviously, hundreds of thousands of pro-lifers from across America routinely go to the march on the 20th or so, somewhere around the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, to raise up, you know, our voices in defense of preborn babies. And ever since Create Equals put into existence, we've been going to the march as well. Now, we don't go there to do the wave, you know, like, you know, and a high five for every pro-lifer and, you know, and talk about how great we are. Not that that's all that happens there. I mean, there is a kind of a tone that it's a celebration, you know, and that, okay, fine. Let's go there and celebrate the fact that we've been around for 45 years. Celebrate the fact that we're still fighting this fight. Celebrate the life itself. You know, that's all good. But the purpose of the march, really, is to memorialize the babies. 45 years of Roe v. Wade is not something to celebrate, folks. It's just not. I don't know about you, but I don't go there in celebration. I like seeing some of my friends, though. I mean, there's a lot of friends there. Yeah. We get to see a lot of good people. We have fun, right? I mean, we do. But it's a serious event and should be. We're there to remember the children and to march on their behalf because they can't march for themselves. So, Ian, how many times have you been to the march now?
Probably 6 or 7.
Okay. And each time have we taken the Jumbotron there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So, folks, just so you know, we take a giant Jumbotron unit. It's like 14 by 20, this huge screen. Sometimes we take two of them. And we set them up on the march route. And the purpose there is to provide a place along the march route for pro-life advocates to solemnly and soberly reflect upon the babies that have been killed, the victims. We provide that spot for them. Not to say that the march doesn't do that and the rally and all that, but we feel this is a spot where people can really understand exactly what's happening. What has been your experience at the March for Life, and why do you go?
Well, I've marched before, and then I've also been with Created Equal, showing the victims, and I think that that's essential. It's great that people are going out and making it known that they are against abortion, but it's important that they also remember the victims, remember why we march, and that's what we do by showing the victims on our Jumbotron TV, is to show what's happening and why we're marching, and to remind us of the importance of it, and to remind us not to grow weary of doing good in the new year, but to continue on and to keep fighting for the victims of abortion. I believe that's essential, and a lot of people say that they're pro-life, and that's the first time that they ever really see what happens through abortion, is when they see the victims on our Jumbotron TV.
Right. And listen, I mean, it goes without saying that we get a lot of grief for this. I mean, some people don't like it that we're there. They think that, oh, this is a pro-life march. Everybody's pro-life. You don't need to be doing this. Well, let me share with you why we need to go. If you would, Mr. Producer, bring up the article in the National Catholic Register. I want to share, this is the perspective of a blogger named Matt Walsh. I don't know Matt personally. Seems like a fine guy. He's pro-life and all that good stuff. And I'm certain that he's dedicated to the pro-life cause. But he's wrong on the march. Let me read this to you, if you would. Go down to where it says above appropriate arenas, talks about the March for Life. Keep going down. I'm going to read this. This is Matt Walsh's perspective on why abortion victim photos should not be shown at the March for Life, and then I'll explain to you why they should. He says this, the March for Life is another venue that Walsh, okay, this isn't him, this is the writer. The March for Life is another venue that Walsh thinks AVPs, and that's the acronym for abortion victim photos, are not appropriate or even necessary. Quote, everyone there already knows the evils of abortion and is committed to opposing it. I'm generally uncomfortable with them in any context where young children are likely to see them. I think the whole point of the pro-life movement is to protect children, and protecting them also means protecting their innocence. All right. This is a very common view, right? We hear this all the time, right, Ian?
Yep.
He says that the March for Life, we shouldn't be taking them there because, quote, everyone already knows the evils of abortion. Matt, you're wrong. Sorry, you're wrong. Maybe it's time you go come from behind your keyboard and join us in front of the Jumbotron as the marchers walk by. It's just not true that everybody at the March for Life knows the evils of abortion. They simply don't, because we have people come up all the time, don't we, even, and say, I've never seen that before. I never understood the gravity of abortion, never really understood the evil of it. There are lots of young people at the march that for the first time have come there and have not seen an abortion, not really understood it. And you don't understand it unless you see it. Last year, for an example, we had a testimony of an individual who was pro-choice, who was coming along the march route and called into Teresa Tomeo's radio program on Catholic radio and shared that once she saw the Jumbotron video of abortion, she set down her protest signs. She was pro-abortion. She saw the video at the march. set down her protest signs and joined the march. So not everybody there knows the evils of abortion. And of course, there's lots of young people there. Let's talk about them. Hundreds of thousands of them. Why do we show abortion victim photos to the marchers, especially to the children? Yeah. And I say children, I'm not talking, you know, 6-year-olds. These are all middle school, high school, you know, generally in college.
Yeah. I think that's a great time for people to see the victims of abortion for the first time, to fully understand the gravity of abortion, to be moved to action. I think that young people in general want to rebel and to fight against something. And when they see the evil of abortion, that's a great thing for them to rebel and to fight against the cultural tide that the bigotry that we have as a nation, that it's okay to kill innocent human beings. And so I believe that it is essential for them to see it, to know what's happening through abortion, so that they know why they're marching. It's great to march, but if we don't know why, and if we're just doing it year after year, then that's not going to be something that's going to impact our culture and society today.
Well, and so, you know, that's why we show them. We're not there to protest the March for Life. I love the March for Life. I know Jeannie Monahan personally. There's nothing personally against them. It's not their problem that people need to be educated on abortion. They need to see it. These young people need to see it. Our point is that the victims should not die alone, that there should be a place that we somberly reflect upon them. And the best way to do that is to see the victims themselves. And that's why we bring the Jumbotron to the March for Life. And the thing about children seeing them, I mean, generally, we all agree that children shouldn't be subjected to the images if at all possible. But that's not always the situation that we find ourselves in. And we're not going to censor ourselves based on the fact that a few children might see it. Here's the thing I always wonder. What parent, think about this, what parent's going to take their kid to a pro-life protest or an anti-abortion protest and figure that they might possibly see an abortion image? I mean, it kind of should go with the territory that if you're going to go protest abortion, you might actually have to see it. And if those parents are concerned, they should just prep them before they come and say, you know, little Johnny, you might actually see something that's disturbing. Here's the deal. Mommy and daddy are here to defend these babies, and we are here because that's wrong, and that would never happen to you. That's how you explain it to a young person who's at the March for Life. We don't find that we get a whole lot of opposition from the marchers. They come by, their faces are, you can see their countenance drop when they see it, which is exactly what we want. And to demonstrate this further, if you would, Mr. Brewster, go ahead and put up this video. This, we've shot this kind of video several years over and over again. This is just reactions from the passersby. It speaks for itself, folks. I mean, we don't need to make a case for the use of abortion victim photos rhetorically. All you have to do is show the reactions that people have towards them and leave it up to you to decide. So go ahead and play this video. This is a compilation of reactions that we have gathered throughout the years at the March for Life using the Jumbotron TV showing abortion victim video and photos. Go ahead and show the video. Thank you. Well, there you go. Case closed, folks. I mean, think about it. The videos don't lie of young people's reactions to abortion victim photos. And if the March for Life is not an appropriate place, then where is an appropriate place? Honestly, I ask that. You know, if the victims of abortion can't be represented at their own march, then where will they be represented? We march for them. We're not marching for ourselves. We're not marching for our kids. We're not marching for anyone else but the victims of abortion, and they should be represented at their own march. And that's why we go. And so we're going to be there again, March, January 19th. If you would give the details of where we set up, I think you know where that is.
Yeah, I think it's at the corner of Constitution and Pennsylvania, I believe.
That's right.
As the route turns to go onto Constitution, we'll be right there with our Jumbotron TV. We'll have our volunteers in the crowd passing out information on Created Equal, how they can get involved, because we do believe that it's important for people, once they know what abortion is and say that they're pro-life, that they take the next step of doing something. And so that's what we hope to accomplish out of that, that people would be educated and more adamant against fighting the injustice of abortion, and that they would also consider joining us for some of our outreach events so that they can make a difference and save the lives of children who are being torn apart every day by abortion.
Well, let me read this just to close the chapter on this whole victim photography question. George Barna, in a survey on abortion that just was released recently, said this. And if you would, Mr. Producer, bring up that that blog again that we put out on Barna's research. I want to read what he believes about victim photography and the role that it plays in educating Americans on abortion. He says this: the pollster, which of course is George Barna himself, stated that in a culture that no longer reaches decisions based on truth, displaying abortion victim images are one of the only things that work. This whole survey is about how Americans are confused about abortion, how they no longer reason using logic to the conclusions on abortion. They deal with it emotionally primarily. And he says, because of that, we are a visual culture. And then he says, quote, there's been some testing done in the last couple of years indicating that showing women who said they were pro-choice advocates some of the procedures, referring to abortion victim photos, showing them interviews, that's referring to a video that was released by Live Action with Dr. Levitino, a former abortionist, showing them interviews with some of the doctors. Frankly, it's one of the few things I've seen that has actually changed the opinion of pro-choice people to becoming pro-life. I mean, folks, listen, we've been debating this whole victim photography thing for 45 years. It's time to get over it, all right? They work. We should be using them. It doesn't mean that it's the only thing that works. Other things do too. But let's just stop the nonsense here. We're beyond this now. There's just overwhelming anecdotal and statistical evidence that abortion victim photos move the needle on the debate over abortion. Let's just forget about this whole idea that they don't work. People that don't use these, if they don't want to use them, fine. But that I tend to believe that there's other reasons why people don't use them, and they'll use the argument that they're not effective to not use them to basically gloss over the other reasons they don't like them. Like the fact is they won't be liked. They're not going to be asked to the banquets. They're not going to be given a platform to talk about it. They're not going to give the big speeches, all of that kind of thing. It's harder to raise money. You know, people won't like me. Whatever. Those are usually the reasons why people don't use the victim photos. It's not because they're not effective. But we are going to the march. If you would, the details, people can still sign up, right?
Yeah, they can. You can sign up by emailing myself, ian@createdequal.org. Ian is IAN. And I'll put you in touch with Gabriel, who is organizing our trip. We have about 4 or 5 spots left in our vans. So if you're interested in joining us for the March for Life, please reach out to me again. That's ian@createdequal.org.
So folks, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, watching us here on Facebook and other media platforms, it's not too late to come. to Washington, D.C., be part of our March for Life. I mean, we go not to march, not that we're against that, we're for it, but we go there to reach out, to do outreach. That's what we're about, to reach out to those marchers and give them an opportunity to reflect on the victims that they're representing. And if you want to be part of that, get a hold of Ian, ian@createdequal.org. You can, or you can just go to our Facebook page and just send us a private message, and we'll connect you with Gabriel, who's organizing our trip to Washington, D.C. Tacked onto that, of course, they get to go to the Women's March as a bonus. So if you really want to get a picture of the abortion debate and what we're up against, come with us to Washington, D.C. And be part of what's going on there. So that's what we're doing this month, January 2018. We are now, 45 years of legal abortion, Roe v. Wade, the anniversary of that infamous, unfortunately, decision that was handed down by the U.S. Supreme Court. But we'll go to Washington, D.C. and continue to raise the standard up for righteousness, for truth, for justice, for the gospel, and for the defense of preborn babies. So join us again as we go to Washington, D.C. We still have a couple of seats available for that trip. Now, to kind of wrap things up, we've got this the March for Life, the Women's March coming up. Ian, if you would, just as a young person, as a millennial, you know, the coveted millennial. Everybody wants to figure out how to recruit millennials. Of course we do, because they're the next generation of leaders. Why is it that you, out of all your options, You could have worked for anybody, right? Yeah. Virtually. You could have. Yeah. Why Created Equal?
I saw that what Created Equal is doing is the most revolutionary thing on campuses in the U.S. right now. There's no more important topic that we have to fight against. No more marginalized people group than preborn children. And Created Equal is doing that the best by showing what's happening to the victims. I've tried doing outreaches without the victims, and the conversations just don't happen. People's minds are not changed like they are with the victims there and present, and that's where they deserve to be. They don't have a voice, and so we have an obligation to show them and to give them the only voice that they will ever have here on this earth.
So folks, if you want to get involved, and I'm talking to the mostly young people, but we don't exclude elderly folks like myself, you know, the middle-aged. We still believe that our movement needs people like me too. Unlike I think some in our movement think that, you know, we're the has-beens. We'll leave that for another show. But anyway, we have opportunity for you to come to Washington, D.C. for the March for Life and to protest the Women's March. We'll be leaving on the 18th of January from Columbus. We'll be returning late. It is January 20th, late, directly after the March for women on Washington, D.C. I have to mention this as well. This is a great opportunity for people to get their feet wet with Created Equal and the things we do going to Washington. But we have bigger plans coming this semester. Justice Ride and Road Trip for Life. Real quickly, just share with our viewers and listeners what's that about.
Yeah. So the next thing that we have up after the March for Life and the Women's March is our Justice Ride, which will be going to Florida. We'll be hitting 5 universities there, taking it onto the campuses, having the opportunity to talk with men and women about abortion. And then also we'll visit a couple of abortion facilities as well there to counsel women who are actually going in to have abortions those days that we're there. So if you're interested in joining us for that, the cost is $275. You can apply by going to our website, createdequal.org. Applications are available there, or you can email me, ian@createdequal.org. And then also after that, during the month of April, we have a group that'll be going on the road for 4 or 5 weeks, traveling around doing abortion facility outreaches in the morning. Then they'll be going to college campuses, talking with students, and then visiting the high schools as well, reaching that very fertile ground of high schoolers who are very open-minded to the issue. And so they'll be traveling around for 4 or 5 weeks every day, doing 2 to 3 outreaches every day. And so if you're interested in that, you can email me as well or message us on our Facebook page.
So again, parents, if you're watching, you have a young person that you want to get in the game, a ministry, there's no better way to do it. this justice ride. I can tell you by experience and seeing all the young people that have gone on to do great work in our movement, some of them working for us. There's nothing like it. It's a week intensive training on a bus, in the classroom, on the street, on the college campus, in front of people that disagree with you on a very important issue, and giving millennials an opportunity to defend themselves, defend the preborn, make an argument for the gospel. This is a great opportunity. So folks, if you're interested, again, ian@createatequal.org, or just go to our Facebook page, message us, or go to createatequal.org, our website, and let us know that you're interested. We got a lot going on first quarter of 2018. Going to Washington, then head on out to our justice ride and semester outreach with the Road Trip for Life. So we'll be busy, folks, and we ask that you continue to pray for us, support us as much as you can in prayer and financially, if at all possible. And we'll keep raising up the standard of the right to life in the public square with conviction and courage, defending the weak and the innocent in the midst of a very hostile climate and society right now. So we'll tune in next time every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern time here, the Mark Harrington Show. We'll be bringing you up to speed with what's happening with our organization, as well as what's going on across the wide spectrum of the pro-life movement, and exhorting you to take a vocal and strong stand for the preborn in the public square. So we'll see you next time. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Create It Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net, createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to the Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.